Well, welcome back to the table, ladies. We are back with our Bible study teacher, Connie Stampfel. Connie, welcome back.
Thank you, Amy.
Well, we're going to be teaching from Lesson 11 today, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. What will we be learning about today?
Well, we're going to find the account of the brothers, Cain and Abel, and truly it's another sad story. It's going to be the first murder.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? Let's get right into it. I know it's a big day today. Again, ladies, if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 4 there. Here's the first five verses. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell.
Thank you, Amy. We're going to go through this from the beginning, but notice here verse 5, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard, the Lord. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Mm. And just pay attention right there. Cain did something. God did not accept it, and Cain became very angry. And so we're going to focus on that in just a minute. But it speaks to the fact that Cain did not truly desire to please God. He thought he knew better than God did. And we're going to see it's going to have disastrous consequences for him and his brother, and actually for all of us. Going back up to verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, Adam knew Eve, meaning they came together as a couple, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And that's his name means I've gotten type thing. And then she bore another son named Abel, and Abel actually means breath. And then we find that these two boys, these two sons, took up different occupations. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, which many of the children of Israel were, and Cain was a worker of the ground. Both honorable occupations, both, I'm sure, pleased God. And then it says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. We don't know if God at this time had specified that they needed to bring a certain kind of offering. Some of the Bible scholars think that God had told them that it had to be an animal offering. I don't know for sure. We do know in the Old Testament, the children of Israel sometimes brought grain offerings and first fruits and all. So not sure, but what the important point is, it says, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. And so we see that God not only accepted Abel's offering, but he accepted the way Abel offered it, meaning Abel's heart was right toward God. He offered in faith. However, it says, but for Cain in his offering, the Lord had no regard. And so we know right away that Cain's offering is not accepted, maybe because he offered the wrong thing, but also more than that, because he offered it in the wrong way, with the wrong heart attitude. And that's the most important thing. And we can see that from the last part of the verse. It says, so Cain was very angry and his face fell. And so he didn't have that right heart attitude. If he'd done something sincerely and honestly in the wrong way and was corrected by God, then he would have said, oh, Lord, let me do it the way you desire me to. So obviously Cain here is in a sense making himself God, because he is choosing his way over God's way. And that's why he's angry. We have some scriptures that tell us more about how God looks at offerings and also how he looked at Abel. So, Amy, if you'd read that Hebrews passage to start.
Sure. Hebrews 11, verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended and as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And then there's another one in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of the rams.
Yes, and that was a common theme throughout the Old Testament. God didn't desire just the right sacrifice. He desired the right heart attitude in the sacrifice. And I think it's one for us to keep in mind also. God really cares about motives.
He does indeed.
So, all right, well, now we're going to find out what happens next with Cain. And we're going to find God again is gracious and comes to Cain and asks asked him questions to get him to look at the situation and see if he could perhaps change.
Yes. Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says, "The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.'"
So again, God is asking questions, and he's trying to help Cain see things the way God does. And notice that there's a possibility of repentance and change here. It's not like set in stone. And also we see that sin is described as something crouching at the door, like an animal, like the prowling lion that Satan is. And God is being very gracious to Cain and pointing out how he's going on a path of sin. And if he continues on that path, it's actually going to destroy him. And again, remember, its desire is for you, and really it means that its desire is to destroy you.
Yes.
But you must rule over it. So we find that, again, there's a principle of righteousness or the principle of evil heart. And we find Cain expressing what would be an evil heart, and he's refusing to repent. Because we're going to find next exactly what he does with this information God gives him. But I'm going to read Isaiah 3, verses 10 and 11, which speaks again how God views the righteous or the evil. Scripture says, "Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. But woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for what his hands have dealt out shall be done to him." Mm-hmm. And so God, again, it was graciously warning Cain of the path he was on, and he should stop. Then we've got just one verse we're going to talk about, Genesis 4:8, Amy, if you would read that.
It says, "Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him."
So we find that the result of Cain's anger at God and his sacrifice not being accepted while his brother's sacrifice was, means that Cain was jealous of Abel. And in a sense, I think I've put out the idea that Cain really is opposed to God. He wants to be God. He thinks he knows better than God. Cain can't hurt God. He can't kill God, but he can kill his brother. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what's happening here. Abel is someone he can hurt. And so he chooses to do that out of jealousy and hostility to God. And it really speaks to what's in the heart. And Jesus talked about what's in our hearts and how we treat our brothers and sisters. So, Amy, if you would read the Matthew 5:21 passage.
It says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire."
All right. And so, again, I think it's a principle through Scripture. We are to love God, and we are to love our neighbor, love our brother. And so how we treat others is really a reflection of our regard for God. And that's a sobering thought, especially when we're angry with someone or we want to call them a name or just be upset with them. We also know that Scripture tells us a little bit more about exactly what Cain was thinking when he did that. And we're going to go to 1 John 3, verses 10 to 12.
It says, "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who is of the evil one and who murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous."
All right. That's a sobering passage for us to consider, but it tells us what's going on between Cain and Abel. And I think our desire as women should be to love God and then to love people.
Yeah,
because that's what we're called to do. We're going to find going on in Genesis 4 here some more interaction of God with Cain, and again, God's gracious questions of Cain.
It says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' He said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' And the Lord said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth.'"
All right, so the Lord is speaking to Cain, and again, he comes to him and he says, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And Cain replies, says, "I do not know." So he lied.
Yes.
And then he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And so he's sarcastic or denying responsibility, or, you know, it's not a good answer to give to the God of the universe who knows what you've done, but that's what he chooses to do. And then the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." And so the God of the universe knows each and everything we've done. And Cain is not going to be able to get away with this. I'm sure he hid the body or something, but the blood is there, and God knows. And then God reveals a curse on Cain. And we know that Adam was cursed with his work and how it was going to be tough to make a living. Now Cain is going to be cursed even more. And remember, he was the one who was the keeper of the ground. He made his living by growing things. And the Lord says, "And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Mm. And so Cain is cast out from other people, and he is going to have a tough time finding enough to eat. Sounds like, you know, I mean, but actually, truly, Amy, as we think about it, God could have killed him right then.
Yeah.
Because he killed someone made in God's image, his brother.
Yeah, but instead, he'll have a long life to think about this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we find that Abel really is the first martyr, because Jesus is going to refer to him, and I'll refer the ladies to Luke 11:50-51, which is in the study guide, and you can read that, but Jesus really calls Abel the first martyr. And then we find in Hebrews 12:24 that it speaks again about blood and how effective blood is actually to turn away the curse. And Amy, if you'd read that, that's a good passage.
"And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel."
Yes. And so, again, Christ is going to be the one who's going to resolve this problem, even this blood problem of murder. But there's a little bit more God is going to say to Cain. And so if we read the last portion of our scripture for today, it's Genesis 4:13-16.
It says, "Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold.' And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest anyone who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden."
All right. That ends on a sad note. Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. He went away from any help or a place where he could actually be restored to the Lord. He goes to the east of Eden, probably the land of Nod, which actually means vagabond. Mm. But interesting, Cain the murderer is telling God that the punishment is too hard for him. Mm. He could have died or been killed right there, but he's saying, no, people are going to kill me and everything. And so God is gracious and merciful to Cain and puts a mark on him, whatever that is, so that people will not kill Cain.
Yes.
Really, I think as we consider this lesson, as women, we need to see again how sin can crouch, and its aim is to destroy us, and how we are to actually turn to the Lord, to turn to the Lord's power, turn to God's word, and be given the ability to master sin rather than have sin master us as it did Cain.
Oh, that is God's grace, and I'm so thankful for it. Thank you, Connie. Well, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, Nancy and I will be back to talk a little bit more about this lesson and what you've heard. We'll be right back.